Okay. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the regular meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. It is Wednesday, October 19th, and we're here in the Veterans Hall in Morro Bay. And I let the record show that all members of the board are present, so we absolutely have a quorum and we're ready to go, and we will begin with a moment of silence. Thank you. Does anybody have any announcements? Aha, David.
I do. Okay. Our last meeting, I told everybody that we were just getting ready to kick off the third annual Morro Bay Surfboard Art Festival, and now it is well underway. And it'll be happening now through the end of November, and then on December 3rd, over at the Inn at Morro Bay, will be the day when all the boards are presented one more time for the auction. And proceeds go to help benefit Morro Bay and Bloom, as well as Project Surf Camp. So make your way around town, because it's a great example of public art all through our beautiful city of Morro Bay. And if you're wondering where my board is, it's over at Tiny Mike's Barbershop on North Main Street.
Thank you.
Just in case you were wondering where my board was.
And is there a place where the public could pick up a list of all of the boards?
Yeah, most of the places that have a board on display will also have a map that'll take you to all the other locations.
Okay, excellent. And I see we have Mr. Heath in the audience. He might even add to that when he gets up. Anybody else have an announcement on that? All right, seeing none. And we do not have any presentations, so we will begin with the approval of the minutes of the September 21st meeting. Has everybody had a chance to look it over? Oh, excuse me. How could I? Well, that's because we don't usually have members of the public here, but we do tonight. So please, let us begin. We will open public comment. And if you would just introduce yourself and give your name carefully for our for Gina here, that would be great. Thanks.
I beg to be first. So okay. My name is Rigmore. I have lived here 13 years, and I have some comments about the garbage company. I've lived in many cities and many countries, and I've never run into a garbage company as amazing as Morro Bay. They are doing the most terrific job. So if you guys are increasing, you know, our rates, I hope it goes to those guys. And one day I'd stepped in a gopher hole and my back hurt and I was on a crutch. And he jumped right out of the truck, took my can in for me. Another time I'd filled my green can and, you know, and then he saw that I was refilling it again for next week. And he just yelled out, bring it across the street, I'll get it on the way back. I'm thinking, my goodness, these guys are just amazing, you know. So I'm so proud of them. Anyway, I have also a little thing to say about this little can we got for our leftovers. Well, first of all, I don't have leftovers. I eat everything. But anyway, if there are some people who have leftovers, and then they have a big green can, and, you know, they don't fill it necessarily with gardening stuff, and they got to go out and put that little piece of whatever they have in that big can, shove it out to the street, and all the driving to pick all that up for that little bit of leftovers, I just think it's kind of like, yeah, I like the environmental thing and all that, but somehow I feel instead we get more, you know, dust and more, you know, that stuff that comes out of cars and stuff like that instead. So that's all, and then I want to say, isn't he terrific? That's all I can say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else for public comment? All right. Thank
Good
you.
Evening,
Welcome.
Members of the board. Walter Heath, resident of Morro Bay. I'll try to do four things here in 3 minutes. First off, I want to extend my compliments to Pamela Newman of the Public Works Department. She prepared a presentation on our landmark trees and the landmark tree program that we have here in Morro Bay, you know, whereby citizens can nominate a tree for landmark status and how that program works. And she made that presentation to over 200 people from all over the country who attended the American Bloom Symposium in San Luis Obispo earlier this month. She did a great job, and she and Damaris Hansen and an intern from Cal Poly who has expertise in global information systems put together a walking tour that you can load to your smartphone. It's an actual website, and at some point I hope to come back and show it to you, that is a walking tour of all our landmark trees, which serves sort of a dual purpose because, you know, it gets you mostly through the downtown. That's where most of our landmark trees are. But it gives you some background on the tree species and on the tree itself. It's just a tremendous, asset for somebody who comes into our town with about an hour to spend and looking for something to do that doesn't cost much, but still gets them around to all the sites that we want them to see. It's just a tremendous thing, and I hope that at some point we can show you what that looks like. Okay, thing two. While giving a tour to the folks who arrived to the symposium early, while giving a tour of Morro Bay to the early arrivals to the symposium, we went out and saw the dune remediation that's being done by state parks, and it's been a 15-year program on the state park part of the beach, and you could kind of see the dividing line between the city part of the city beach and the state beach. Now, the section between the bike pedestrian bridge and Coleman Park was hydroseeded with seeds of native plants. That didn't turn out so well. Not so many of the plants have actually taken, but the sad part about it is that the monoculture of ice plant is starting to come back in a big way. And I'm hoping that there is something that we could do about that. As I said, it adjoins the area of remediated state beach that would be imperiled by the fact that we've got this monoculture that spreads like crazy. And if I know that Gorilla Gardeners and the folks in Morro Bay and Bloom are willing to help out, because it really boils down to a hand-pulling operation very often, although the patches of ice plant you'll see are large enough now where you'd almost have to bring in some heavy equipment to pull it out. I'm hoping that we can do something about that. I know the goal was to try to remediate that area, but it's sort of fallen down that way. Surfboard art sale. I want to correct David just for a second. The event on December 3rd is an art sale, not an auction. So art in all formats, not just surfboards, will be available. And I hope people take advantage of that to do some holiday shopping, because it's going to be everything from, note cards and prints, all the way up. So we have the run of the public spaces there, and it's going to be quite a show, and it's such a gorgeous venue. Lastly, we won our population category at the National Symposium and Awards, so I brought by the trophy. We've won this is the second year in a row that we've won our population category. This year it was for 10,000 to 14,000, so we were up against different competition than last year when we were 6,000 to 10,000 category. They kind of split it up that way. And our landmark tree program was also recognized with a special award. So I brought that for you. You can see that. And it's interesting. That was decided before Pamela did her presentation. And then our bloom rating this year was 4 out of 5 blooms, and we got special recognition for community involvement. So, we couldn't do this without Public Works. You need to know that. The Public Works Department is very much our partner in this, and we get cooperation all the way up and down the line for the projects that we take on. And so I'm just... we're just really pleased to be recognized this way and continue the work that we're doing. Thanks.
Thank you.
Walter, I have one question for you.
Thank you, yes.
Walter, I have a question for you. Yep. The walking tour, landmark tree walking tour, is that on the website?
It's interesting. It has its own website right now. I don't know if it's been synced up to anything else. It's a good question. We've done two tours, as Morro Bay and Bloom volunteers have done two, one for the landmark trees and one for the murals in town. The one for the murals in town is really great because it sort of spans the divide between downtown and the waterfront, so it gets people up into the downtown. That one's on the morrobay.org site. And I'm hoping at some point that, I'm on the chamber board as well, that we can get a Morro Bay telephone app with these things in prominent places, because they're basically, you know, they're free things that people can do, and sort of leads them around the places that we want them to go anyway. So it's a really great tool for promoting tourism here.
Great program. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. And where are those trophies going to reside, Walter? Just out of curiosity.
At City Hall. We don't have a trophy case, though. We're going to need to get one, though, because okay. Right now they kind of sit on top of a filing cabinet in the back okay. of City Hall.
Well, just so the public can see them. Thanks. Okay. Linda, did you want to speak now, or you want to wait for... Okay. All right, thank you. Then we'll close public comment and move on to the approval of the minutes of the September 21st meeting. Any comments or questions or? They look good.
I'll go ahead and, gosh, I can't think right now. Make a move to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
Okay. And all right, I'll move in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carried. All right, director's report. Any questions from the board members on the director's report? Yes, we'll start with Rick.
On the bicycle transportation report, I had a question on their report, the third item dealing with the Main Street Alder San Jacinto Crossing. It says the project is funded. When is that scheduled? Do you know?
For work?
Yes.
So it's we originally put it out to bid a few months ago. Bids came in much higher than we anticipated. We had additional $15,000 for bike funding. Added that to the project, but at the same time we put it out with our street paving work because we have striping involved in that, and it came in with, of course, with a larger package at under budget. So council will be awarding the street paving contract at their next Tuesday's meeting. The paving work will happen first, of course, so within 2 weeks after award they'll be out there working. They have to wait a week or two, depending on what the temperature's like, before they can stripe after that. So to take advantage of those economies of scale, we'll wait and do all the striping together. So I anticipate two weeks, within a month and a half to get that work done.
All right, thank you. Hi,
Al. Go ahead.
I have a couple more. On the streets report, talking about sending options for funding to the city council, I'd like to suggest another one, and we can talk about this later when we get to B2. But years ago when I was on the board previously, we talked about the garbage franchise fee. Is the purpose of the fee was to deal with administrative costs and to deal with street repair for the damage caused by the vehicles. I'd like, and like I say, we can talk about it in depth when we get to B2, but I'd like to see some sort of recommendation to council that maybe 90% of the garbage franchise fee goes to streets and 10% to the administrative general fund. Just throw that out there right now, and you can, like I said, we can deal with that in depth later. And under the wastewater section, operations and maintenance, the first bullet point was talking about the chlorine contact tank was drained for cleaning and inspection. Staff is still noting an increase in solids accumulation on the floor of the tank. Is there any reason, known reason for that, and what are the ramifications of that?
We're still trying to determine why the solids are building up there. The ramifications are permit violations, so for suspended solids. So the tank is a rectangular tank with basically kind of a paddle wheel that kind of scrapes the bottom of the tank. The paddle wheel doesn't go all the way to the corners, so we put some fillets in there to try to keep that from gathering solids. What happens is the solids tend to grow biology in there, and we can exceed our coliform tests due to that. So that's why we bring the chlorine contact tank down to clean it periodically, so we don't blow those permit violations. But it's a new phenomenon. It hasn't happened in the 50 or so years that chlorine contact tank's been in operations. Haven't really changed much in the operations besides putting new flights on the kind of the scraper, and it seems to be working fine, but the operators are rather perplexed. But they do have a maintenance schedule for taking that tank down and cleaning it periodically to keep the solids from building up and us violating our permit. But it's they don't like doing it because it's a pain to do, and they never had to do that before, so they're trying to resolve the problem.
Thank you.
Jan, any questions?
No, I don't really.
Okay. Stephen.
Yeah, Ed, one quick question. It's on the water operations side. I noticed, because I live on Piney Way, I tend to notice these things. I noticed a lot of new corp stops going in, it looked like, on the water main to certain residences. Are you coordinating these things? Because I know Piney Way was on the list of roads to get paved shortly, so you're trying to do the work prior to it.
Yes, those were replacement of steel services there. Ooh. So
hate to see you cut up a street.
Yeah, we wanted to get those steel services out and patch it before we came in with our triple layer.
And I assume that's citywide. I noticed Piney
yes.
Way because I live
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we work together between the utilities division and consolidated maintenance to get
very
that work
good.
Done
Thank you.
Ahead of time.
Okay. David. No? Chris.
You touched briefly on the streets, but you mentioned in here giving a update on the bid results at this meeting. Can you kind of just tell us where we are on the street package?
Sure. So we had, let me get the bid results out here. I know I put it in my... Okay. I believe so, yeah. If you have another question, I'll get it off the website because we did post it to the website. So, but we did receive multiple bids. Just give me a second here. We need some background music while I'm
Well, we could talk.
Are there any other questions until Rob was able to pull that information out?
Sure, I have several pages. So.
Several. Why don't you get started?
Start
Stu.
With a short one.
Stu.
It's good to see we're putting in a lot of photo takes around the city, especially on the buildings. Do we have an idea of how many kilowatt hours we're generating? Is the first question. And the second question is it more than we're using in the city? And if so, I would imagine we're selling that excess power back to PG&E. And the question is, at what rate are we selling it to them for?
Don't have those details to answer that question at the moment, we'll have them for the next meeting.
Okay. We have a question on the Churro Creek storm drain or flow meter and so on over there. Are there actual fish going up Churro Creek where we are stuck on that stormwater gauge that we are going on and on and on for getting in there?
I have seen steelhead in Churro Creek. It is a listed, and steelhead are a listed species. And we're working with our friends at National Marine Fisheries Service to put in a gauge that is least impactful to steelhead migration.
Uh, I also see we did 623 work requests. And is there any kind of detail on those work requests as to how many potholes were fixed or whatever they did with it, or sidewalk grinding and so on, so we get an idea of where they're putting those efforts to?
Yes. I just don't have that information with me. We'll add that to next month's director's report. And I'm almost there. It's taking much longer than I anticipated because...
And do you have more questions, Stu?
Just one.
Okay. Go for it.
He's listening. I have a question about CSD and the maintenance we're doing on the plant now. Do we bill them for it, or is it included in the rate we charge them?
I'm sorry.
On CSD on Cayucas?
Yes.
Do we bill them for the maintenance that we do on the plant, their share?
Or yes.
It's an individual billing then?
It's a combined bill, so we bill them quarterly for both operations and maintenance. So they get, and there's a different calculation per the agreement for capital maintenance versus it's either flow-based or ownership-based a bill. So if it lasts a certain amount of time per the agreement, then they get billed on ownership, which is, I think, one-third. If it's something due to the flow of wastewater wearing things out, they get based on flow. And so that currently right now is running around 25%. They're about 25% of the flow. But yes, they are billed for that maintenance work.
Great. That's all I have.
Okay. I'm back to the bid summary for streets. We received 6 bids, ranging, the low bid was from company called Pavement Coatings out of Woodland, California, $1,133,049.60. The high bid was from Intermountain Slurry, not sure where they're from, somewhere in the valley, $1,342,243 were the range of the bids. We are recommending that we put this out as an indefinite quantity, indefinite delivery contract, so we can adjust quantities before awarding the contract. We have about $980,000 in street paving money from the 2 years worth of Measure Q. We're recommending council award a contract in $970,000 and change, basically, to Pavement Coatings. We kept a little bit in contingency because we pay based on quantities. So we've estimated those quantities, but when they turn in their invoices, we actually have to pay for what they put down on the street.
So you did do a unit price bid as opposed to a lump sum?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, so we got unit prices for the various methods of surfacing. We don't have any paving in this contract. No. It's all surfacing. So it's microsurfacing, chip seal, triple chip seal, cape seal, double chip with a where we would pulverize the surface ahead of time as a substitute for reconstruction. That was a recommended method some other cities have used to kind of stretch your paving dollar. Recommending award of that contract. We are able to do 9.9 miles of street this year, and that's about 20% of our street. Now, some of those streets you typically would not do with a sealing method. So, for example, our favorite street, Ponderosa, we typically would not use a sealing method, but we're trying this double chip where we pulverize the existing asphalt and base, recompact, and then go over it with a double chip seal to buy some, give them a smoother surface to drive on, buy some time. It's not a 20-year street, though.
But a double chip seal is probably of the quality of Ponderosa when it first started.
Correct.
Or more.
Yeah.
I'm actually probably of a higher level.
So we'll be awarding that contract at council. Notice the staff report was just published. It has the complete listing of streets. I don't have them all memorized.
Will that be on the website, though?
It's on the website right now.
Okay. So I know you're not going to be able to do all of the streets that you had originally planned on.
We have we removed or modified 5 street segments. I remember those.
Okay.
So we removed a 200-foot long section of Coral Avenue, a 200-foot long section of Beachcomber. Those are the two real short dead end sections that serve really only serve 3 homes each. And we removed probably the most pricey section, Little Morro Creek Road, about 4,000 feet of Little Morro Creek Road going out into the county. And then we modified Monterey Avenue from a chip seal to a microsurfacing. Chip seal came in at 64 cents a square foot. Micro came in at 18 cents a square foot. So we evaluated Monterey. We can get by with a microsurface. It was right on the border between micro and chip. So we're planning on doing chip there. We have quite a spread across the city. We're doing our favorite kind of streets that, as I mentioned, Ponderosa, Avalon, mm-hmm. will get some work, Nutmeg, Piney Way. That's why we did the utility work on there. So you'll see the work spread throughout the community.
And you said it would begin in about a month and a half. Is that correct?
When council makes the award, the contractor has about 10 days to submit all of their required insurance documents and that sort of thing, provide us with a schedule. So we do have a time frame. I believe it's 90 days after award to be completed. So
it is. I know with asphalt, it's temperature dependent. Is all these other methods? You're fine with where the temperatures.
We need
be?
To be above about 60 degrees. So what with these sealing methods, it just takes longer for. Cure time on them, and it's not like a hot asphalt mat where you lay it down and you can drive on it within 20 minutes because the mat is cooled. This is more of a asphalt emulsion, so it has to dry a little bit before we can let traffic and pedestrians back on it. Otherwise, you just make a mess out of yourself.
Well, this is very good news, and I'm sure there's a lot of citizens that are going to be thrilled to hear this. So, and it's good that it's on the website. I just had one, not a question, but actually, if you would just update us on when the workshop is going to be for the facility master plan for the new WRF.
Sure, that'll be November 14th at the Community Center multipurpose room.
Okay, now
we'll be setting that up in theater style. It can seat about 250 people in there. The chairs might be pretty tight, but we'll plan on a large audience. I know we've made that error before in that room and set up 30 chairs and had 100 people show up.
I think a lot of people are going to come.
Yes.
That would be my guess.
That workshop will be basically, there won't be a session where you can walk around to tables. It's more of a presentation of the facilities master plan and then take comments on that. And that really kicks off the environmental work once council has approved that draft facility master plan. Just want to point out, it will stay draft until the environmental document is approved. And then it will become a final facilities master plan.
And that's about a year from...
About a year from now, yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay, great. Thank you for the update.
I just want to add one more thing that wasn't in the director's report because we just did the work over the past 2 days. We did another creek cleanup project. Removed about 120 yards, 340-yard dumpsters full of garbage from the creek. The area of the willows that are kind of across from the existing wastewater treatment plant next to the high school, there was a large, not so much a campsite, but more of a garbage dump in there. We also focused on Willow Camp Creek, which is the drainage that's kind of behind Burger King area. Those three locations, and like I said, removed about 120 yards of material. Police will probably report their crime statistics on how much drug paraphernalia and folks that were detained through that operation.
And how did it go generally?
It went well. We were helped out by the CCC crews. They sent a 12-person crew to help out with that. We also mobilized a lot of city forces. We had water and sewer crew volunteers. That was where air quotes. Worked from basically 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock yesterday. Finished up a little bit earlier today. And I know that our interim police chief has plans to not wait for a year to pass before they continue to inspect give education to the folks that are down there, and we'll try to stay on that cleanup rather than waiting a year.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, we will move on to item B2, which is the Morro Bay Garbage Service Base Year Rate Adjustment.
Thank you. So in the agreement that the city has with Morro Bay Garbage Service, there is a rate setting process and methodology that is outlined. And so earlier in the late summer, at the end of August, the city received from Morro Bay Garbage Service their base year rate adjustment application, requesting a rate increase that would become effective January 1 of 2017. Application is attached to your agreement, to your staff report, sorry. And the proposed rate increase is for 3.96%. The majority of that would be coming from a purchase of a new 2016 automated side loader CNG truck. And that comprises 2.77% of that rate increase. The remainder of the rate increase is distributed between the administrative costs and operating costs at 0.85%, and then increased costs to landfill disposal at 0.34%. So with the rate adjustment application, there was also financial statements that were provided, and this was all reviewed by the Administrative Services Director to determine whether the application and the supplemental financial information was appropriate and made sense. And based on that evaluation, the information that was provided is determined to be accurate and reasonable. So we're also doing, the other part of this is the Proposition 218 process. We're going through that noticing and hearing requirements that entails. So a notice was mailed out 45 days prior to the public hearing date, which will be at Council's November 15th meeting, at which time the Council will take testimony from the public, receive any of the protest votes that may have come in or that have come in during that public hearing, and consider whether or not to move forward with adoption of a resolution authorizing and approving the rate adjustment application. Currently, as of today, I spoke with the city clerk, and she said that we have received 3 protest votes at this point. Based on the customer count of 5,161 accounts, 50% protest vote would be 2,583 protest votes that would need to be submitted in order for the rate adjustment application to be denied. Also attached, to your staff report is the resolution. It's the draft resolution that would be going to council. And so that's why it doesn't have a number attached to it. And so it's basically, if we go through this process, we go to the public hearing, we have fewer than the 50% protest vote, council approves the resolution for the rate adjustment increases. So staff is recommending that the board recommend the city council conduct the public hearing at its November 15th meeting, take the public testimony, and receive any of the protest votes at that point in time. And provided there's not a 50% protest vote that's been submitted, adopt the draft resolution that's attached to your staff report and have those rates become effective on January 1, 2017. The 218 also has two other components. So the base year rate adjustment is one part. The next two rate adjustments under the methodology are CPI adjustments. So rather than coming back next year and then the year after that to do a whole nother 218 process for the CPI adjustment, those are also included in the 218 notice and public hearing. And so these are identified in the fiscal impact section of what those two would be. And they would include the CPI adjustment, the increases to the landfill costs. Those have been pre-negotiated with the county. So they are set percentages. Those are also included for 218 and 219 to become effective. And then the CPI adjustment for the AB 939 fee as well. So those are all folded in, and it would have effective dates January 1 of 218 and January 1 of 219. So with that, what I'd like to do is turn it over to the board for any questions or comments and public comment.
Thank you, Janine.
I just want to point out just a couple of things that I heard or didn't hear. CNG, compressed natural gas, is the vehicle type. So going from a diesel compactor truck to compressed natural gas truck for emissions issues. And then also, this is not a contract negotiation with the garbage company, between the garbage company and the city. This is a rate increase. So we did our contract negotiations earlier in this year regarding Mr. Deschler's comment about franchise fees. That can happen at any budget that the council chooses to provide additional funds to, because the franchise fees kind of go into the general fund gumbo, and they can be allocated at any time. So we'll forward those comments on to city council for that. Okay. I think that ends my comments before you get started on your questions.
All right, good. Well, normally we would have the staff ask questions first and then have public comment, but I'll ask you, Linda, if you want to give public comment now. All right, I'll open public comment.
Thank you all, Chairman McPherson, Shively, Goldman, Deschler, Swinko, Parker, and Skift. I want you all to know I really appreciate our citizens' advisory committees. I feel like you're kind of the key to us as citizens to be able to speak about what's concerning us. And so I thank you all for sitting there and listening to me tonight. I know that you have read, most of you have read my letter, and I'm not great at just speaking, so I'll kind of just read it and throw in some things maybe in the middle if I think of them. My name is Linda Merrill, did I say that? And my concern is, and I don't know if this is even the place to be bringing it up because it sounds like we're just discussing rates, but maybe I'll do it anyway, is that every holiday I have kind of overseeing the sea otters at the Rock. And on my way to watch over them several, like almost every day during the holidays, I've noticed our garbage cans can be overflowing. And we've had a problem. I know Mr. Leivick and Mr. Buckingham have been working on this diligently to try to get, it's sort of a combination of the small cans being overflowing and the gulls distributing it, and then the huge garbage cans that the lids aren't closed or something and the gulls are distributing it. So we have this kind of two-pronged problem. And one of the problems I heard, and it's probably been solved by now, is that the garbage is not collected on Sundays. And so anything that's just filling up the garbage on Monday morning, you're going to see plenty of it. And then also, like if there's a holiday, then that adds another layer of refuge that we need to deal with as a coastal city. And as we're getting more visitors, obviously we're getting more garbage. So anyway, that concerns me. And the quality of the garbage trucks I mentioned, they're rusty, they're noisy, and I hope that a new truck maybe will be a bit quieter and cleaner for our neighborhoods. I'm glad to hear that there is going to be purchased of a new truck. I don't know. I probably forgot something. But thank you all for listening to me. And I'm glad that all of you are aware of the trash situation. And I hope to all be listening to you at home if I can't stay. So thank you all for your comments. And I'll be watching you.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. And we will close public comment on this issue. Did you want to respond? There's a couple things I think that she mentioned that you might want to respond to. I believe you said that you've already negotiated with the company. Is that correct? So that this rate increase does not impact that.
This rate increase does not impact the us level of services us as a customer to the garbage company. So the last rate increase, we negotiated 10 additional cans of free pickup that we distributed out through the town, mainly in the downtown area.
Are they already in place?
They're in place now, yes. And we recognize that they're, as Morro Bay becomes more attractive to people visiting here, we generate more trash, or folks put more trash in the trash cans. I don't know how to say that correctly.
More trash.
There's more trash. It's not a desire to deal with the issue. It's a resource availability issue, funding. So we have our free pickup. We can pay for more trash service. We can pay for have city staff to do trash collection on Sunday. It's something that will be, I'm sure, will be discussed during the budget process. But like I said, it is a resource issue. We added additional funds to it at mid-year last year to acquire the cans that will have the free service. But it is a level of service and a resource issue that needs funding.
Question on that. On those additional cans, has any somewhat studies been done to see, okay, this one isn't being used as much as to where maybe be relocated down to the Rock, or is there?
We had actually brought something to the Public Works Advisory Board. It was in, I don't know if it was the summer, I think it was summertime, late summer last year, where we were looking at taking some of the complaints that had been given about mainly the downtown area near where the farmers market operates, and then expanding that out and looking at along the waterfront and looking at the Rock and looking at the downtown and seeing where there areas that needed a little more improvement. So the 10 new containers that were in the downtown, and then some of those got relocated and service, we're going to be monitoring that to see, did the additional containers help? Do we need, or are we still kind of overflowing and where that might be? And then we can identify, okay, what days of service do we have? Do we need to increase those? And then identify how much that funding that might be, and then putting that in as a budget request. Along the waterfront, there weren't a lot of real changes to that. In talking with the harbor staff and the maintenance person who kind of monitors that area, they felt that as far as along the Embarcadero, that was pretty good for right now. Didn't seem to really be any issues that had popped up. The rock is always an issue. It continues to be an issue no matter how many cans we put out there, no matter how many days a week we collect, no matter how many people volunteer to do tidying up in between the collections. And so we had come up with an idea which is in process. It hasn't occurred yet, but the idea is to remove the containers, the big belly containers that are along fronting the beach from the parking lot, and then replacing the dumpsters that are along the near the restrooms with a dumpster that has kind of a slotted lid fitted on it. So that would help with the issues with the birds, which tends to happen when the cans would get full enough for the birds to start pulling things out of it. So that's the idea and the plan. We have some funding that I don't know if it was included in with this budget or needs to be added to like a mid-year budget adjustment or request to get that dumpster and get that out there, and then we can start monitoring that, the rock area, to see is that working or is that not.
What we know isn't working is our experiment with the big bellies. They're a mechanical piece of equipment with some pretty fancy electronics that we put in probably the harshest environment that we have in Morro Bay, and they just don't hold up. The salt spray wreaks havoc on the metal parts, on the electronics in them. They tend to be locked out a lot. The doors automatically lock on them, so you can't put the trash in there. There's a lot of different methodologies that cities have used for trash, from no trash cans at city facilities, like in the city of Portland. You pack it in, you pack it out. And it took a while, but it's a success up there too. You know, trash cans everywhere. And we're trying to find some happy median between that to satisfy our visitors and be efficient with our trash collection.
On the downtown farmers market, do they provide their own additional trash service for the event each week?
No. My understanding is that is a planning permit. I'm not sure which type. And unfortunately, when that planning permit was approved and enacted, it did not include for a provision for additional containers. So the service that the city has on the streets is what the farmers market has. And so some of the issues or complaints from the downtown area really related to not having enough cans in the area. And then I think we even had upped the collection a day, an extra day in the week too. So now you have four cans on each of those corners and an extra day of in the week for collection. So you have the Friday collection, and then I think we have Saturday the next day, or maybe it's Monday the following. So I haven't really heard anything that there are still some issues, but I was going to reach out to one of the merchants who I spoke with before in a little bit and see, now that we have those extra containers out there, now we've gone through the rest of the summer and into the fall, has that been taking care of some of those issues, or do we still have some?
Yeah, so just to follow up to make sure that we understand, so the issue of quality here is really more of service level. It's not necessarily quality of the pickup, but rather how much the city is willing to pay for the service.
Correct.
Yep. And the issue of the noisy trucks, well, this new truck, hopefully, is that this compressed natural gas truck, is that quieter or?
Hopefully a new muffler.
With it being a new vehicle, I would assume that it would be a little quieter. However, it still has a compacting function that has to occur. And that's something that has to occur periodically throughout the route. So
right.
That level of noise is still going to occur. I don't know whether technology has advanced in the last 7-10 years since the last truck was purchased to make that a little quieter.
Well, and I assume they have more than one truck, so.
They will, and eventually the whole Morro Bay fleet, we have a provision in the agreement that specifies the age of the vehicles. The vehicles can't be so old, or they have to be a certain age or less. And with the organics program coming online and the anaerobic digestion facility that's going to be built that will eventually all of the organic material will go to be processed in, one of the potential byproducts of that is CNG, which could be used for the vehicles. And the idea is that eventually Morro Bay's fleet will convert to all CNG. So in time, so like the next vehicle that is getting up there in age and gets replaced, that would get replaced with another CNG vehicle until all of them are rotated through as that.
Okay.
I've got a quick question based on that. You speak to the Morro Bay fleet. Does this company actually have trucks dedicated only to Morro Bay?
Correct.
Oh, okay. So when you buy this new CNG truck, it's actually only in use here in Morro Bay.
Correct. And I actually,
that was one of my biggest questions. I usually don't see private companies put their capital costs for new equipment.
And
they hide it within, you know, their overall rate structure.
Well, and they have to do that because it's tied to the rates. And the rates are tied to cost. So if you're buying the vehicle for this particular location, those costs need to come from that location.
Oh, okay. And but the 2.77% you speak to goes on forever, even though the truck might have a lifespan of, what, 10 years, I think you were saying, or something.
Right. And I'm not sure how they finance it and how long that finance is and whatnot.
It just caught my eye, and more out of ignorance, I'm asking.
Yeah. And when I was speaking with Pat Fenton from the garbage company, he had said that the new garbage trucks, they were going to be putting a wrap on it. And that wrap, I don't know if you're familiar with wrapping vehicles. You see them more with like transit buses.
Right.
And they're going to have pictures and images relating to Morro Bay. So there might be a picture of the rock and the area so that you'll see that rolling through town and you'll know, hey, that's Morro Bay's truck.
Just to be clear, those Morro Bay garbage trucks do pick up some trash outside of the city limits that are close by the city. So Morro Bay garbage serves like Choro Creek Road, just outside the city limits.
No, fair enough.
And
they pay the city rates.
It's strictly back to the rate payers. Those people pay rates too in the
yes,
city.
Yes,
correct.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. I just want to make sure one Los Osos or, you know, some other town in its entirety, or at least spread the cost of these new capital equipment over the other cities that may benefit from it. I'm more familiar with health sanitation and waste management. This is a little different animal in the sense that...
Well, it is a big company. I mean, Morro Bay Garbage is just a brand name
of
a larger company.
Gotcha.
It includes... they serve from South County Sanitation District, City of San Luis Obispo, Five Cities area, basically almost every area south of the grade.
But they each have their own fleet for each of those
yes.
operations, it sounds like. Okay, thank you. That answered that question.
Yeah, I had that question too.
Yeah, I did too. Basically, mine was the same question, but I noticed on all these on the rate increases when they mentioned other cities, there was no rate increase. So is that because are we the only city that requires these trucks to be 12 years or younger?
I don't know the other cities and their contracts and what they have in terms of provisions for the aging of their fleets. The different cities' information that was provided in the rate adjustment application is a requirement of the application process, just to see your comparison with other cities around you. So I couldn't really speak to the age of the fleet for those other contracts because I'm not familiar with them.
I have a few questions.
Go for it, Stu.
We had a conversation about the big bellies maybe a year ago or maybe 6 months ago that are down at the Rock. And is there any way to convert those things so we can make them usable without the electronics in them, or are they just basically useless cans out there?
The plan is to repair them and put them at other locations around the city that would be more appropriate, more inland locations like the park areas that aren't right on the waterfront. So we're still going to make use of those cans. I think once they're off, kind of the getting the brunt of the salt spray, they'll be fine. For example, the one that's down at Mariner Park, I believe, hasn't had any issues with that can, but it has no salt spray that it really gets there.
I know I'm at Del Mar Park every morning, and some of those cans in there don't really get used, and then some of them are overflowing, especially around the picnic areas and so on. And I understand, Jenny, that we collect a fee from somebody who reserves the picnic area and so on, but we don't dump those on weekends. But perhaps that's a place to put some of the big bins, big bellies is out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll have more capacity and they be less exposed to the birds and stuff.
Right.
When were rates last raised generally for our garbage service? Do you know?
Well, there was a rate increase at the beginning of this year that was related to the organics program that was going to be expanded to include the food waste program. Prior to that would have been, I believe it was the year prior to that when it was the interim year adjustments where you had the CPI adjustment and the landfill rate increase and the AB 939 CPI adjustment. So basically the way the methodology is you have what we're going through right now, which is a base year rate adjustment, and where we see the financials, we have more information in the application about the operating costs, the revenues that they bring in, the projections that they have for next year, and the determination of what shortage there might be, and then therefore coming up with a percentage that they would need to cover that. And then the two subsequent years that follow are the interim year adjustments that are CPI adjustments. And then those other two for the landfill cost and the CPI adjustment to the AB 939 fee.
Thank you. I see there was a comment somewhere in here about the plastic bottles and the rest of that. No doubt they're part of the landfill, and as well as milk cartons and the rest of that stuff. We're currently shipping that to China or someplace offshore because we no longer have CA redemption. Is there a plan to get back on that in the near future?
I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to. Is how the recycling materials are
No, it's
sold,
it's the plastic, it's the plastic bottles. We still pay a nickel or 8 cents or 10 cents for it, and we don't collect them anymore. They get thrown in trash cans and they end up in the landfill and so on. I imagine the landfill sorts them out or something happens there.
The California Redemption Program, that's a state program, so those, the nickels or the dimes or whatever, the percentage on glass and plastic and whatnot, that's all set by the state and it's their program. Whether or not they decide to make any changes to that so that, you know, maybe the redemption, because of the type of material is no longer really recyclable, and maybe going in the landfill or is not as easily to recycle, they may make changes to collecting that fee, redemption fee, but that's not something that I've heard of or aware that is in the process.
What I'm after is where does that money go? The nickel that we pay Albertsons? Or
it goes to the state.
It goes to the state.
It's part of the part of the California
and that goes
Redemption
into cyberspace.
Fund.
It's gone.
Okay.
It goes to a couple of different programs. One of them is, unfortunately, the The redemption centers, like the ones that earlier this year had, there was a number of them that within the county and actually across the state had closed. It goes to paying those materials that people bring in to get that redemption money back. It also, I think, goes to pay some of the, like Morro Bay Garbage, who does collection of these materials as well. They get a certain amount of that back. But that's all a state-run program. They get the fees, and they identify how those fees are used and allocated out.
The gentleman made a presentation to us a year or so ago about the anaerobic digester in the other building. Are they still looking at that, or is it where's the process on that going?
It's in the process. I believe all of the cities have and the county have gone through their contract amendments and contract extensions that were needed in order so that they would have that guarantee amount of material that they could put into the facility once it was up and running. And so from that point, it's getting the contract going and then starting the process for permitting and getting the facility constructed.
I think during the permitting process, I saw something on the news where there was some neighbors that weren't exactly thrilled.
It's the headlines
about
in today's Tribune.
Yeah.
Supervisors delay vote on waste processing plant. So they're delaying the vote to give the permit because there are concerns about odors. So it'll be a while. In fact, that was one of my questions, what impact that might have on, even this rate increase, since the purpose of the prior rate increase, as I recall, was to do this.
Right. And when the council adopted and approved the contract amendment that extended the agreement, the current agreement, by a number of years, it's predicated on that facility getting up and running. If that facility, there was a time frame of when that was to occur and start collecting and processing. And if that didn't happen by that certain date, then the contract extension, basically it goes away and it reverts back to what the pre-existing termination date was at that point.
But the ratepayers are continuing to pay the additional 3%, as I recall that
right,
was.
Right, because we're still having to collect this material and do something with it and process it. Right now it's getting processed. It's getting taken down to somewhere near Santa Maria or past Santa Maria and getting processed at Engle and Gray. And then once the facility was built, then that would transition to that facility. So we're still having the food organics component getting expanded, there's still a cost to doing that. And so that's why the rate increase would still be included.
Any other? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to make one observation. And I'd just been in Japan for the last 2 weeks. And it was interesting to see how waste management is handled there. And it's interesting, there is no public trash cans, zilch. You walk around the streets, and the streets are perfectly clean. It's like Portland, you pack it in, you pack it out, people are putting it in their pockets, which was really quite interesting. But they even took the sorting a step further, where you have to separate your plastics into three different groups. You peel the labels off the plastic bottles before you put them in there. I honestly appreciate the American way of trash pickup. I realize the noise can be sometimes deafening, especially if you're trying to sleep, but like I think David brought up one time, it's his wake-up call to get the cans out there. And so from that standpoint, I do appreciate the service this town gives. I just always want to make sure the numbers look right when we go through these, because every time you do institute an increase, that increase goes on forever, whether, like you said, for the waste organics, and it's still going to Engle and Gray, which is where probably all the green waste product went a year ago or prior to that increase. Until they build this facility, that money hasn't really kicked in for the use intended, if you follow what I'm saying.
Well, actually, it kind of does, because you have an additional amount of organics that is being delivered to it. It's not just the green waste anymore, it's the food. And there's a cost per ton that they pay
Engle
for
and
processing.
Okay, so Engle and Gray is charging you extra for the additional meat wastes or whatever you want to call it.
The rate increase that occurred this past January for the organics program is it encompasses that. Uh-huh. And so it took into account there's an anticipation of X amount of tonnage additional that would be collected of all the organics overall and brought to be processed.
Yeah. And I realize these numbers here have already been negotiated out, and this is merely, you're keeping this franchise in place for yet another 3 years, I guess is the best way to put it. But I just want to bring that up because for a lot of people out there, all they see is, oh, gee, it just went up 3% last year. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it's going up 4 or 5% this year. And I think it's 4 plus whatever. I think there was an additional one on there for CPI. And I think the CPI has been dead here for the last few years. But in either case, that's at the end of the day, that's what they see. And so I always like to make sure the numbers make sense. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Go.
I have one question, which I'm sure is way off base, but I don't think it really directly relates to our action tonight of recommending the open forum for rate increases, but it's more about negotiating with the garbage company, which you've said is already complete for the most part. But Janine, you mentioned that they were considering wrapping the trucks and doing so mainly for decorative purposes and identification, like this is a Morro Bay truck, it's got a picture of a rock on it. Is that more or less the point of wrapping them?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it's to be identifying that this is a Morro Bay truck versus okay. San Luis, and taking a little more pride, I guess, in okay. the location.
My question would be, in maybe the city negotiating, having control of the content of the wrapping print, and the city in turn sells that space as advertising space to generate revenue to offset some of the costs of the garbage company's work. So
we would need to make a change to our zoning code to allow mobile advertising to make that happen.
We must know somebody who can make that happen.
We are working on our general plan and our zoning code right now. So.
Yeah, so I just thought if we're going to make that space usable, we should make that space usable to generate revenue for the city. So.
Thank you. Any other, Chris, do you have questions? Okay, I just have a couple. Oh, sorry, Rick, I forgot about you down there.
That's okay.
Go for it.
On the contract on the 218 vote last year that included the bio waste, that included a potential extension of the contract. I think that was 17 Correct. Years. If that facility is not built and it reverts back to the old contract, how much time is left on that? 3 years?
I think it was 2023.
How often do we renegotiate terms with the garbage company?
We've only had 3 contract amendments since this contract was put in place and became effective in 2002. And it's really both parties wanting to... It was usually like the garbage company wanted to have some change, like the security deposit was one of the changes we made at one time. The city, during the discussion for the organics program and the contract extension that we would need for that, that's when we came in and said, well, hey, we have 10 more cans as something that the city would like to have as incentive for the contract extension.
So items can be brought up at any time?
They can be brought up at any time, but both parties have to be willing to open that up, that discussion up, and potentially come together with some sort of agreement to bring forward to the council for approval.
Okay. When I was not at last month's meeting, I was in Medford, Oregon, and their system up there is that they have their trash picked up every week, but they alternate weeks on recycling and green waste. So you end up with one-third less traffic on the streets. And, I mean, everything seemed to be working out okay up there. I'm not sure how long the program's been that way, but that seems like it would reduce the costs of operations by a third and the costs of street damage by a third by having one less vehicle a week going up and down every street. So that's something that I think needs to be looked at, you know, when we're discussing rates, is how to reduce potential costs. Let's see, what else? On the chipping pile that's there on Main Street by the where people dump their chippings, that's all controlled by city and has nothing to do with the garbage, is that correct?
That's actually in Caltrans's right of way. And I don't know how it started there, but it's a very convenient spot for folks, for tree trimmers to put their chippings there and for folks to come collect them. I think Caltrans maintenance has kind of put the blinders on. I've never seen this happen anyplace else in Caltrans's right of way.
Does the city send out a skip loader and rearrange the piles every now and then?
When it gets to be a mess, we'll clean it up a little bit, usually on our way to another job. Because folks want to take the best of the chippings. Yes. And leave the palm fronds. And and then I noticed Caltrans has, they'll, in fact, put their chippings there sometimes, but then they've also hauled off from that location too.
And let's see, what was my last? I know a lot of people are, I've had a couple of people comment to me about being on fixed incomes, and you know, every year we're having an increase. So this increase, which covers the next 3 years through 2019, then we'll go through another 218 request, is that correct?
Correct. What'll happen is another base year rate adjustment application would be submitted, and that kind of trues up the what expenditures and revenue from this base year. You go through the two CPI adjustments, and then you come to that subsequent base year and see, okay, where are we with those two interim years? Did we do okay? Do we need more? And what's the projection for the year coming up?
So, have we ever had any years where it was less and no increase was necessary?
We've had years where there has been no increases. So when it was relatively, where the CPI increase was relatively flat, where it was, you know, barely 1%, the garbage company decided we're not going to bring a rate adjustment application and do a rate increase for that. Their financials were healthy enough that they carried it forward to the next base year rate adjustment to see what they needed to do at that point.
Comment earlier about prior to the biosolids being included in the green waste, about a year ago I had gone on one of the tours that the Integrated Waste Management Board offered out to the recycling and plant out there at the landfill, and at that time all of the green waste was simply being chipped and used as layering in the in between the landfill layers. But now I guess everything, all the green waste is going down south.
Correct. And that's a change in law that occurred recently where the alternative daily cover, that's what they call it, green waste was no longer going to be, I think starting this year or starting next year, was going to no longer be allowable. And so that was kind of spurring as well of this different way of processing the material in the future, because where that material was able to be utilized differently and break down and not add to the landfill ultimately, now piles of that would have to go somewhere and be processed.
it's not just adding to the landfill, it's production of greenhouse gases too, that are really not controlled, where you, if you have in-vessel composting, you do have much more control over the process, and the gas can be put to more beneficial use rather than collected and flared off.
And let's see, one last question. It probably was in here, and I didn't think of it to look at the time, but they do have smaller green waste bins rather than just the large ones. Is that correct? So
correct.
The people that don't use bins very often or don't
or
have much green
yard,
waste,
right.
And they're putting their household food items in there now would be able to
yes.
exchange out for a smaller
green
waste bin?
They basically, they have a 32, 64, and 96. So they give everybody the 96 right off the bat. But if you have a smaller property, if you don't have a lot of green waste material that's generated to where you would fill 96 gallons after a month or so, you can call the garbage company and request to change out to a smaller size container. And you could do that for the recycling as well. You don't have to have the 96 gallon, the largest size.
I think this would be helpful information to get out to the people, especially the ones that talk about dumping their little kitchen scraps into a barrel and there's really nothing in there except a small amount of kitchen scraps. So, getting the word out that they can get smaller containers would, I think, be very helpful for everyone. That's it.
Jan, did you have more questions? Okay. Anybody else?
Go for it.
Okay. Well, I have a couple. first of all, what is allowable profit? What does that mean exactly?
It is defined in the rate setting methodology as what the city is saying, this is allowable for you. You can't charge more than that, or you can't earn more than that. So that's a number that's factored in on the rate, on the application. You see that percentage.
Because I was curious to see that the operating profit has doubled from 2015. So I was curious to know, I mean, it projected for 2018, it will be twice what it was in 2015. So is it a percent or is it an absolute dollar amount or? It's on page 24.
I believe it's a percent.
Page 24, allowable operating profit. It was 71, and I don't know what that is, if that's overall for our contract, 71,741 in 2015, and it's projected to be 142,956 in 2018. Yeah. And I think Stephen's point about if it's used to buy a truck, should that rate increase be continue to be there forever? It just doesn't seem right. So the next question is, could this group recommend a lower rate increase? And then I have a question about the 218 process is only when you negotiate base rates, so that this last rate increase, as I recall, the 3%, that did not go to a 218.
No, we did a 218 for the organics program.
And
then prior to that, the base year rate adjustment, we did 218 for, and it included those two interim years as well.
Okay. And on that CPI increase, is that based on the actual amount of inflation?
It is. There's a certain, I've got it listed in the staff report, a particular, it's the CPI for urban wage earners and clerical workers, U.S. city average, published by the U.S. Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, and then it would be in the month of June for each of those years.
Okay. And were you able to see how our garbage rates compare to other cities in the county? You said you
looked at that. They include that information in the rate adjustment application. I think it's the last.
Maybe I didn't look at it thoroughly.
I think it's the last page of that attachment.
of the application, and it provides for the single-family residential for Atascadero, Cambria, Los Osos, Paso, and San Luis Obispo. And it shows the 32, 64, and 96-gallon rates for each of those. And the...
I don't think I have that.
The city was...
Yeah, I don't have that.
It's page 29 of your packet.
Ah, okay. Uh-huh, okay, great. So we're in the same ballpark?
Roughly, and San Luis Obispo is lower than the city, and that's because the garbage company's facilities originate out of San Luis Obispo, so they're not having to travel the distance like they do. You'll see Cambria is a little bit more expensive than Morro Bay because they're a little bit further north, okay. and they're, so their operating costs are going to be a little bit higher.
So the answer to the question about could we recommend a lower rate increase is probably not. Is that correct?
It is something that you could do. The issue is going to be that when you come to the next base year rate adjustment, depending on how the operating costs are going, if because what they're projecting is that this is what the operating costs are going to be based on the number of accounts that we have and the rates that we would be changing to, this is the revenue we'd be collecting for that.
Right.
And this is the shortfall. So you would be making that shortfall, you would be basically saying you have to continue that shortfall and carry that until the next rate adjustment application where we'd go through this whole process again and look at, okay, what were the actuals? And then now what are you projecting for the future?
On the allowable operating profit, mentioned that it was that there was a formula used for that. What is that formula? Has that been explained to the board or the council in previous?
I don't think so unless that? They came and looked at the rate setting methodology because it talks about each of the like the forms and each of the line items, what they're filled out, what it means. And so I was trying to look real quickly in here to see what it
has. I'm just curious when that was determined and that methodology was determined.
The council, I'm trying to think if I've got that in the staff report. I think they had identified that as the process that they were going to use in the agreement. So in 2002, when the agreement was put in place.
And that contract has possibly been extended for another 17 years, so that methodology wouldn't be changed for another 15 years or 17 years if they end up building the facility?
Unless both parties wanted to open that up and create a new methodology to govern the rate increases.
Yeah, go ahead.
Janine, I've got a question. Waste management is actually from Folsom. That's where they started. And in that area up there, they initiated some transfer stations for garbage where they'd actually take the local trucks and go dump them into a cut they made and put concrete in it and so on. Then they'd push it off into 18-wheelers, which were much more expensive or much less expensive to transport out to the main dump than wanting one of these trucks with the maintenance and everything else that goes with it. I wonder if any consideration has been made to having a dump transfer station installed to cut our cost and fuel.
It's not something that's been talked about. I don't know that that's something that would get approved permitting-wise. The state has been very tight on regulations for new landfills and whatnot, so that would have to be something you'd have to inquire with the garbage company to see if it's something that they have thought about or looked at and what the challenges of that might be.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that may be a way to cut their maintenance cost on these trucks, and if you put it in an 18-wheeler, they found it was much, and this is the same company, that it's much less expensive to haul them in 18-wheelers than it is to haul them in the regular little truck so the depreciation on the truck would fall.
Well, Waste Connections is the company, not Waste Management. Waste Management's a different company. So I don't know if Waste Connections has done something similar to that in other areas of the state where they have contracts.
Yeah, but that may be something to look at, to lower the cost of fuel and so on down, and lower the cost of maintenance of these trucks down, is put it on 18-wheelers. Thank you.
So basically, you're looking for us to now discuss this and make a recommendation to basically pass this on to City Council and to approve.
The recommendation is to have the board recommend the council conduct their public hearing on November 15th to consider all the evidence and testimony that's presented and to adopt the resolution that's attached in your staff report, increasing the rates as outlined in the fiscal impact section, provided that there's not a majority protest vote that has been submitted by the end of public comment for that public hearing.
Okay. So discussion group, what does everyone think?
When I was questioning earlier about the cost of the equipment, such as the truck, I wasn't saying it's wrong. I just didn't understand when you have things go ad infinitum when you're paying for actual things that you either retire or move forward with, it gets a little tougher. First of all, I think they do a good job. I think Morro Bay Garbage, at least I've been happy with the service I've received, and I've never heard real issue or concern. But it does concern me a little bit when you get into the numbers. And in listening to what you brought up about the allowable operating profit, it appears their target is to have an 8% profit, is what I'm reading from this. Is that a fair statement?
Correct.
So that's where they'd like to be, and that's where they're trying to get back to as a result. It would appear to me 8% seems like a reasonable profit for a profit-making business. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's kind of locked in when you're working for a city or an agency such as this. So I don't have problems per se with that aspect of it. I do a little bit of the earlier one regarding this whole green waste and building that digester that may or may not happen, because that money did go up, and I kind of know Engel and Gray's operation, and I don't see the cost of that necessarily offsetting the amount that the rates went up. But I have no problem supporting moving forward with this.
Okay.
My question is, our action is to recommend to the City Council to hold the public hearing on November 15th. If we decide not to recommend that, what are they going to do? Just go ahead and vote on that without public input?
They're still going to have the public hearing. That's set because the 218 notice that had to go out had to identify what the public hearing date would be for that 45-day noticing process.
Okay.
So they would still hold their public hearing and consider all the testimony. This is just an opportunity for the public to provide input and comment or submit protest. It provides an opportunity for the board to take a look at the rate adjustment application and see, does this make sense, and kind of have an additional recommendation to the council aside from staff's recommendation.
Well, I certainly agree with the public element. I think that's certainly healthy.
So you support... Okay. Chris? Stu? Chris? All right.
Okay, I'll move that we propose to the City Council approval of the proposed rate structure as presented.
I second that.
All right. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Future agenda items. Anybody have any that they want to add?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, okay.
Some time back, we had a discussion about the water meter network being installed in the city. And at the time, we decided that the cost was prohibitive to doing that. Since that period happened, it was about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, there's new technology out there, and some costs have dropped, and a lot of things have happened in that type of venue. Therefore, I'd like to take another look at the water meters and networking the water meters around so we can see where the water goes and perhaps lower our cost and get these fellows off the motor scooters running around town reading water meters.
Question I had there was, I remember cost was one of the primary considerations, but I think it was also the fact of having an outside company run it too. So I think there was two things going on there, Stu, as I remember. I assume council would have to give you direction towards moving in that regard. Is that correct, Rob, or the city manager?
Correct. That's currently not on Public Works' work plan. the board is more than welcome to agendize, if there's a interest in it, agendize their own items and present information to the public. But until I get direction from the city manager, that's really nothing that Public Works would be working on.
But Stu, you could go to the goal setting workshops that will be held, and you could make that recommendation, and it would get on next year's goals and objectives. So there is a process for doing that.
Yeah, I believe I had some conversation with the city, or maybe the city manager, about Wi-Fi networks and all the rest of this, and this all fits in the same venue. And of course, we struggle out here with our internet connections and so on. And perhaps that's something that we could take a look at and see if the time for it being feasible for us is at hand.
Okay. All right. Any other further comments? All right, we will adjourn this meeting until our next regular meeting, which is November 16th, 5:30, right here.